is for us to remember some things and how difficult it is for us to remember other things. Can you remember some of the wrongs that have been done to you in the past? I know I can remember some of them. Seemed like they were yesterday. But some of the good things that's happened to me, I tend to forget. What is that about us that causes us to do that? But it's true. How often we forget the good things that's been done to us, but remember the bad. Tonight's text is a great text to help us remember the benefits. Remember the benefits of God. Remember the things He's done for us. In Psalms 103, this is considered to be one of David's Psalms. And in Psalms 103, we won't have time to look at the entire Psalm. We're going to concentrate primarily on the first five verses. In these first five verses, David calls upon his soul. He addresses his soul. He talks to his soul. And he tells his soul to remember all the benefits of the Lord. Let's read Psalms 103, the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I found something very fascinating this week in the Hebrew word that's translated benefit. Because the Hebrew word, the root word for benefits, is the same as the root word for camel. I thought, well, that seems rather odd. But when you think about the land, and you think about what a camel was used for, a camel was necessary to carry people, to carry travelers across some very harsh, barren land. And so, like camels, that's what God's benefits are able to do for us. They're able to carry us across and through harsh, barren, difficult times. When times are very difficult, when times are harsh, then we can turn to God's benefits to help us carry us through these difficult times. So that's the way I looked at how the word camel and the word benefits were similar. Because there are some similarities. And I think that's why David uses this particular word. David tells his soul, soul, bless the Lord. Bless His holy name. In the very next psalm, Psalms 104, that's how this psalm begins too. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. And you know, when we pray, that's something we need to always remember to do, is to have in our prayers God addressed in such a way to show His majesty, to show His greatness, to show His honor. Because we are very honored to be able to address Him. That's a benefit. So David here begins by telling his soul, soul, remember to praise God. And in particular, praise God because of all of His benefits, and there are so many of them. It says, don't forget to do that. Down in verse 22 of Psalm 103, David ends this psalm by saying, bless the Lord all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we bless the Lord by praising Him for all of His benefits, to be grateful for each and every blessing. One of the worst things a Christian can be today is ungrateful. Because a Christian, more than any other person on earth, is blessed. We have something that no other people have. No other people. Just those in the body of Christ. They're the only ones that have this benefit of eternal life. And the more Christians think about that particular benefit, the more grateful they'll be, the more gracious they'll be, the more giving and generous they'll be. Christians that are not generous, they're not very giving, they're harsh, those people don't think much about God's benefits. David says, soul, remember to bless God. So what are some of these benefits? David mentions five in verses 3 through 5. He says there's five benefits here in particular that if I can remember, then I'm going to be grateful. The first one, he says, is the Lord is the one who forgives all of my iniquities. He forgives me as one who sins. It's interesting that the word iniquity comes from the Hebrew word that means bent, crooked. So when I get off the path, the straight and narrow path, I'm taking a bent or crooked path. And so I'm veering off. That's what the word iniquity here means. I'm taking a crooked path, a perverse path. I'm not taking the straight path that God wants me to take. There's a lot of phrases that I found in the Bible that describe this level of forgiveness. This level of forgiveness. The type of forgiveness that God forgives us with. Down in verse 12 of this psalm, David says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Well, you can't get any further than that, can you? The east is as far from the west as it can be. So David is using a picture here to describe how far God takes our sins. They're as far as east is from the west. They couldn't be any further. Isaiah has a couple of descriptions of God's forgiveness for people. In Isaiah 38, verse 17, Isaiah describes God's forgiveness this way. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. What's the idea of being behind God's back? Where they're not to be seen. Isn't that a wonderful idea? We have sins being as far as east is from the west. We have sins behind God's back. And then he goes on and says in chapter 43, Isaiah 43, verse 25, he describes it in yet another way, God's forgiveness. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. They're blotted out. They're erased. And that sin will never, ever be brought to me again. God is not going to bring up past sins that's been forgiven. Why? Because they've been blotted out. They're behind his back. They're as far as the east is from the west. David tells his soul, soul, praise God for this benefit. And of course, God is able to forgive, the Bible says, because of what Jesus Christ did. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Hebrew writer describes what Christ did on the cross for us. In Hebrews 9, verse 26, the Hebrew writer says, he then would have had to suffer often, talking about Christ, since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away sin. Who did? Christ. How? By the sacrifice of himself. Was his death on the cross necessary? It was absolutely essential. So many people belittle and ridicule the idea of Christ being crucified. But the Hebrew writer says that was the way that sin could be forgiven. No other way. So it was because of what Christ did. But this forgiveness is conditioned upon us yielding to God's plan of pardon. When Christ died on the cross, he did not forgive every sin that had ever been committed. Only sins that had been repented of. Only when those individuals had gone to God in the way he prescribed. The Bible says that Jesus became the author, the source of salvation to who? All those who obey him. Many people in the world leave off that last phrase. Jesus just became the author of eternal salvation to everyone. But the verse says, Hebrews 5:9, it says he became the author of salvation to all those who obey him, who submit to God's plan of pardon, and only those. So David tells his soul, soul, be grateful for the benefit of God's forgiveness. The second one he says in Psalm 3 is that remember the benefit that God heals all your diseases. And certainly there's a couple ways that he does this. The God who created the human body is able to mend his creation. Think about if God would have made our bodies so that if they were ever cut, we would bleed to death and there would never be anything to stop it. Or if we ever got any sort of virus or bug into us, that we would have nothing to defend ourselves and we would automatically die. But that's not how God made our bodies. He put antibodies in us. He gave us white blood cells. He gave us an immune system. David says, Psalm 139, verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And yes, we are. But more importantly, Jehovah can heal the sicknesses of our soul. Lust, hate, greed, jealousy, anger, fear, guilt, the list goes on and on and on. In Psalms 107, he tells us what the remedy is. In Psalms 107, beginning in verse 17, the psalmist tells us this. He says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Now notice this next very important verse, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How did he heal them? He sent his word and it healed them. That's what he says the remedy was. And then the Bible tells us near the very end in Revelation 21 that we will be clothed with a new body. And this body is perfectly designed to live in heaven. John describes it as a body that will feel no pain. There will be no tears, no crying, no suffering, no death. What a wonderful body. So he heals me as someone who is sick. The third benefit, David says, in verse 4, he redeems our life from destruction. So he redeems me as a slave. The Bible says we become slaves to sin. We're not born slaves to sin. We're not born sinners. We become slaves to sin. We become slaves to sin. And Romans chapter 6, the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6 emphasizes this. But in particular, in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, Paul says this to the church there at Rome. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. No longer be slaves of sin. And skipping down to verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. We become slaves to sin, but we don't have to stay slaves of sin. But if we do, notice the end in verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. For those who remain slaves of sin, it leads to spiritual death, eternal separation from God. But the Bible says Jesus paid the price for our redemption. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter emphasizes this price that Jesus paid in verses 18 and 19 of the very first chapter. Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but, now he says, here's what you were redeemed with, the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was the only sacrifice that could redeem us. He was the only thing that could pay the price for our redemption. All the cattle and all the sheep that's ever lived could never pay the price. But he was the perfect, sinless sacrifice. That was the only way that we could be bought, redeemed. So because of that, we can be freed from the bondage of sin, the curse of sin, and the penalty of sin. Back in Romans chapter 6, we just read verse 6. Now in verse 7, right after that, this is what he says. Romans chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. He writes, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. He's the one that freed us. And again, the way this happens is we access that divine plan of pardon. It's not a plan that we devised. It's a plan that God devised. The fourth benefit that he mentions is he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns me as one who reigns. What does Jehovah do? He bestows upon His children benefits like steadfast love and mercy. Go down to verse 11 in Psalm 103. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him, for those who reverence Him. Verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him, for He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. God is the one that made us. He knows us. He knows that we make mistakes. He knows that we sin. He knows we are weak. How does He know that? Because He's the one that made us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But He bestows these benefits on us. His mercy is higher than the heavens. That's a pretty high amount of mercy. He crowns us. Grace, compassion, tender love. In Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah has some words. I know you've heard these words before, but they are some beautiful words. Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to read verses 22 and 23. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Why is it we're not consumed? Why is it we're not destroyed? Because of His mercies. Because of His compassion. And then, of course, one day, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to be crowned with the crown of righteousness. The crown of life. John says we'll be crowned with that if we are faithful to the very end. All the way to the end. And then David finishes with the fifth benefit that he wants his soul to remember. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Jehovah gives us those things that our soul needs the most. In Psalms 107, verse 9, the psalmist says this. 107, verse 9 says, "For he," referring to Jehovah, "satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." He gives us things that are good for us. What we need, what's really good for us, that's what He gives to us. So no wonder David tells his soul, "Soul, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord by remembering these benefits." And he says he ends up by restoring our spiritual strength. See, that's what remembering these benefits will do for us. They build us up. They make us stronger. They encourage us. Give us vigor. Makes us feel like soaring, he says. We're renewed like the eagles, and that's what the eagles do. They soar. In Isaiah chapter 40, one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. I know you've heard this many times. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, Isaiah says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." David, at various times in his life, needed to be renewed. Needed to be restored. His strength needed to be built up so he could be stronger. And he tells his soul, "Soul, if you'll remember the Lord's benefits, when you get weak, when your strength decreases," he says, "focus on the Lord's benefits. Think about all that He has done, and you will be renewed, and you can soar like the eagles." It is so necessary for us, especially in times like these, that we ponder all of these benefits. And I think especially the very first one, and that was that He has forgiven us of all of our iniquities. How wonderful that is. He has left in place a divine plan of pardon. For those outside the body of Christ, we know what that plan of pardon is. It begins with the faith that's based upon God's Word. And that faith leads us to repent. Turn around. We turn from the world and the ways of the world and our own desires, and we turn to Christ. Why? Because our faith has done that. We openly confess our beliefs and we are immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And that begins our wonderful life as a follower of Christ. And then 1 John chapter 1 reminds us that it's necessary for us to repent, to confess our wrongs. When we sin, we need to ask God for forgiveness. And He's freely and willing to take those sins as far as the east is from the west, to put them behind His back, to blot them out, to erase them. That's the kind of God we serve. Tonight, as Dean leads us in this wonderful invitation song. Let's think about what the words are telling us. And if there's a desire, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.